Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh!
What are you drinking?
What? I'm sorry, what?
What are you drinking?
It's not milk! I'm not racist! Quit accusing me of being racist! I'm not drinking milk, I'm drinking tea, and it doesn't even have milk inside of it. This is Wretched Radio. Did you hear? Milk is racist. That's right, and taxpayers are paying to determine how it is that milk became so racist. Sent to idea@wretched.org, which is why you should send things to us, because I would have never found this article. Milk is racist is a part of a taxpayer-funded research project into connections between milk and colonialism. Academics in Oxford. Cool. Researching the political nature of milk and its colonial legacies. Apparently, a bunch of white male farmers got together and said, how do we impose milk drinking on everybody to colonize the country and keep people oppressed? Apparently, one of the experts has argued that milk is a Northern European obsession that has been imposed on other parts of the world. This is so documented. All of the covert meetings, while the documents have been brought into the light, countless meetings, the big milk players, the bovine association, the utterly nutritious association. See what I did there? Utterly nutritious association. They got together to say, how do we export milk to other countries so that we can make money and oppress them? Dr. Joanna something hyphen said the assumption that milk was a key part of the human diet may be understood as a white supremacist one. Well, isn't everything? The new project, Milking It, Colonialism, Heritage, and Everyday Engagement with Dairy, has won funding from the Arts and Humanities Research Council. That would be taxpayer-funded research. The History of Science Museum in Oxford said, by focusing on communities, I'm stripping of this, of the British accent, by focusing on communities, intersecting industry, aid in government regulation, this is that academic speak, this vocabulary vomiting that is supposed to overwhelm you with the sense, we're really smart and you're dumb because you are being critical of milk colonialization. The project, according to the museum, aims to center on heritage as a vital framework for understanding how colonial legacies influence contemporary issues and affect people's lives. Total word salad. The project will question both the imagined and real aspects of milk. How do you measure imagination? I don't know. Revealing the intimate and political nature of this everyday substance. So please note, I'm not racist. I'm drinking tea.
So I wonder if it's 2% or almond milk that is more prejudiced.
Well, now that's a different study.
Oh.
See, almond milk has its own racial issues because almonds, I'm getting there. Okay. Almonds, it has the word, as the letter S in it,
uh-huh,
in its plural form, and so does the word whites. There you have it. Please send stuff so we can all be agitated. Idea at wretched.org. And if you've got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, please text away to 877-282-2337.
Whole new meaning to the word or term lactose intolerance.
That is exactly... Jimmy! Boom!
I solved the problem.
I didn't know that's what... I thought milk just makes some people's tummy upset. But no... Actually, have we ever talked about sourdough bread here? I'm not prescribing anything, but I've talked to enough people about this because I found it so fascinating that sourdough bread apparently is easier on the tummy for people who have gluten issues.
Huh.
And I think we mentioned before that in Italy, they don't use the gluten when they make the bread. So when people from America take a trip to Italy and they eat the bread, they're like, hey, this ain't bugging me at all. Well, there's a reason for it, but if you can't find Italian-made bread, get yourself some sourdough bread. And I'll be honest with you, I'm being rather selfish in bringing up sourdough bread. I mentioned it to Al. A lot of you know Al, Ambassador Al, here at the ministry. I was mentioning about sourdough bread not causing gut issues, and he said his wife makes sourdough bread. And I went, well, that sounds lovely. Yep, it was fully baked with a desire. It was totally coveting some sourdough bread.
He brought you some?
Oh, man. It was still warm when it got here.
I like sourdough bread.
Honest, I do not wish this to be blasphemous at all, but if Jesus didn't say that man cannot live by bread alone, I would try.
My wife would,
I
too.
I love bread. Rah! Do you do that? There's some like carbohydrates even on your plate. You get served a plate of food, and what do you go for? The potatoes, protein. Give me them carbs, man. And that sourdough bread, I'm just telling you. 877-282-2337. So if you're listening, Veronica, I'm just saying it was really, 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 really good sourdough bread.
I thought we were friends, Veronica. All right, this
you
is
you didn't get any.
I did not.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, you're smugging.
If I had known, I would have shared some of mine.
This is
with Kerry Irish butter.
Now you're just gloating.
A little.
This is from Sam. Todd, how can I find contentment when I'm a mid-20s single man while seeing person after person getting paired off?
Yeah.
It discourages me more than anything else in my life.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're in that season, and I'm sorry it is kind of it can be discouraging because it's hard to find a godly spouse these days. What the gender breakdown is, I don't know anymore, but for both men and women, it's just harder to find a spouse. And you see somebody getting married, or you go to the Facebook zone and you find somebody from high school, and it's like, oh, they were a dork, man, and they're getting married. Here, what's the matter with me? I would suggest there's some options for you. And one is, it is okay to recognize that your culture is making it challenging. But I don't think that should be a total excuse for it. There's something else that you can be doing in the meantime. You can grow in being a better spouse. You say, but I'm not married. That's exactly the problem. I want to be a spouse. No, be a spouse now. Develop those attributes of living with another carbon 14 unit. And you will grow in godliness in preparation for marriage. Third, don't give up. I will shout out, now, I don't know if there's like an anti-online dating Christian organization, but I think there's some rotten ones, but I do think there are some good ones. Utilize them. And make sure you put religion exactly where it needs to be on the list of priorities that you have. Don't couch it. Don't hide it. Don't think, oh, if I let people know I'm too Christian, well, then they might not. Well, you don't want those people anyway. So make sure you use a system that has the opportunity to put down your priorities with Jesus being at the very top and utilize those means. And in the meantime, finally, I would say, grow in your contentment in the Lord. I know that's difficult because there's a sexual expression of marriage that doesn't exist in our relationship with our Savior, but your heart can be satisfied. So see this as an opportunity for you to grow because you're single because God wants you to be single. If God did not want you to be single, you would be married. Now, that doesn't mean that he's happy that you maybe aren't thrilled with not being married. But it means that your God who cares for you knows that this is best for you at this time. Jimmy, you got anything else for the young people who are just going bonkers? No, and I get it.
And I do get it, too. And I don't want this to sound mystical or anything else, but there is some truth to this old saying is, you know, when you're not looking for it, it happens. You know what I'm saying?
You're really going to try to sell this?
Well, but what I'm saying is it's kind of piggybacking off of what you're saying is be content with the Lord and be content and grow in who you are. And when you're not looking for a relationship, you're not going to be depressed and upset that it's not coming. And likely that's what's going to slap you upside the head.
And get involved in your local church. That's what the gift of, in my opinion, the gift of singleness, I don't know that it has anything to do with sexual desire as much as the gift of the Lord hasn't provided a spouse, and that means you've got all this free time. What are you going to do with it? You've got options. Video games shouldn't be one of them. You could play more sports. You can watch tons of Netflix, none of which will grow you. Furthermore, none of it will serve fellow members of the kingdom. So if you are in a season of singleness, please know, we all get it. We understand. It ain't easy. We get that. But get involved in your local church. And when you are busying yourself with ministry, you'll probably be less distracted and bummed out that you don't yet have a spouse. This is Wretched Radio. You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa. Poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are you opening?
A fortune cookie.
Oh.
I just happen to have a fortune cookie here, so I'm just opening it up. Let's see what that says. This is Wretched Radio. Here's my fortune cookie right here. Ooh. When you ain't looking for what you desire, your desire will find you. Well, those fortune cookies, how dopey are those?
Hey, you know the guy that invented those?
The fortune cookie?
Yeah, he made a fortune.
Why do I feel like I just got hit by a truck?
You started it.
Like you threw me into the middle of 85 in Atlanta, and I just got run over. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
This is from Gordon. Todd, at what point can the biblical Christian view of self-preservation and general living be unbiblical? Are we called to be educated, affluent Christians who live relatively comfortable lives while serving through our local churches?
It's individual choices. We're not supposed to live like monastics. That's not what we're called to. It is okay to own a home. It is okay to have a bank account. It is okay to have a 401k. It is okay to leave an inheritance to your children. Just don't live for those things. That's all. Use those things as a part of life and of enjoying God's good gifts. Just don't desire them as the preeminent goal of life. And each Christian needs to make those decisions for him or herself, which is why we need to be super slow when we go about the business of judging somebody for their lifestyle expression. Unless we know all of the details that are going into it, if I see somebody who I think is living an exorbitant lifestyle, I'm going to zip it because I don't know everything. And I'm going to leave it between that person and their Lord. Now, might I ever, if I get to know the person, spend time asking them questions about the desires of their heart? Sure, out of Christian love. But I could well hear an explanation that I didn't know about. And that makes sense. I always think about fancy cars and Christians who drive a car that I myself wouldn't purchase. I think my car is celebrating its 12th birthday right now. Okay. So that's my preference because of the economics of it and resale value and all that jazz. But let's just say a Christian, they've got themselves a spanky new fill-in-the-blank with whatever you think is a groovy car. And what if they have that car because they need it to bring their clients around to sell high-priced real estate and make a living with which they not only support their family, not only put money into an investment account for the sake of their children and grandchildren, but also fund Christian ministries starting with their local church? Oh, so that's what drove that decision. See what I did right there, Jimmy? That was kind of a dad pun right there. I don't know. Maybe they need that car for business. I don't know. So I'm going to overlook. I'm not going to jump in and have a courtroom in my own brain rendering people verdict because they don't make purchasing decisions. I do. This is not to suggest that Christians don't make sinful decisions. We do. And we can help one another with that. But we need to be careful that we don't make our lifestyle the standard by which everybody else must live. I think that would be getting close to the James admonition of probably getting critical of rich people or people in power. Not many. God does not choose many who are like that. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. Not many, maybe it's one, are wise. Yeah, like 120, something like that. 23. Jimmy, let's see how I just did there. 1 Corinthians 1:23, if you'd be so kind. There aren't a lot of people who are in power and who come with a huge academic background. Why? Because it pleases God, said Jesus, to bring good news to people who are childlike. Even the uneducated is kind of what the Greek is indicating, because it confounds the wisdom of the world. there are saved people who live in the upper echelons of society. And we can't be jealous of those people. Yeah, they've got a huge responsibility before God, but not before me. What's 1 Corinthians 1:23?
But we preach Christ crucified.
That's what I... Bingo! Nailed it again! 877-282-2337.
Hey, what do you call a rich person that drives a Tesla? Come on, think about it.
I'm trying. Elon Musk. No, I don't know.
An egomaniac. Because it's an electric car, an egomaniac. You want to laugh so bad.
No. No.
You just feel sorry for me.
A little bit. Yeah. You know what? If we weren't in separate rooms, I would lay hands on you right now.
And
I don't mean in the biblical way. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Jess. Todd, is it sin for a woman to be a professor in a Christian university and teach something like apologetics?
No, because of the setting. It's a setting. It's the church setting. It's the office that is of concern. It's not that women can't teach men. You can, ladies. You should, ladies. And there are appropriate places for that, and there are inappropriate places. So this is, by the way, this is not to suggest that a woman couldn't be usurping authority in a classroom setting. Could, but if we're just talking about it's a class on apologetics, the woman is a professor, she's really good at it. I think as a male, you can take that class and profit from her knowledge. And I don't see that as a violation of 1 Timothy 2:12. I don't see that as any sort of violation of any sort of spiritual authority. So your conscience might keep you from doing it. We never want to override that, but I don't think it would have to. I don't think that would be a sin at all. Do you agree, Jimmy?
Completely agree.
All right. So here's another one that's being bandied about.
Okay.
What about women politicians? What do we say about that? That men are submitting to those who are in authority and they're female. And I personally, this is how I sort it, because this is, first of all, we're not Israel, but nevertheless, we can learn principles from Israel. And what we see is the rule was male leadership. Were there ever female judges? Yes, but that was because of the abandonment of men from their assigned roles. So that's not really a hearty endorsement of a female judge or leader in Israel in the Old Testament. So that's what we see as a pattern. And we say, okay, that's instructive, but nevertheless, we're not Israel. We're in America. Could we also talk about how the Bible is honest? I was just reading some article. It's just amazing. The effort to blur genders. There aren't like female expressions of emotions, as if to say that we all do share the same emotions, so we're all exactly the same. Well, here's the reality. We do share all of the same emotions, but men and women are different in how they express those emotions. Nevertheless, the Bible recognizes that, and it indicates that men typically are the provider, the protector, the leaders of the home in Jewish society, the leaders of the village. They were the ones who sat at the city gate. They were the ones who were put in positions of authority. So what do I do with putting all of this together? I say it is not a sin for a woman to be in politics. Having said that, do I think that that is the ideal? Based on the way the Bible points us, I would say it probably is not the ideal, but I could never make a law where there is no law. So if I go to church with a woman who is in politics, I got to tell you, she wouldn't be going under church discipline. Disagree? Idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337. What's your take on my thinking about women?
No, I completely agree. That's what I was going to say, was that I think it's permissible. Absolutely. I don't think it's probably ideal.
Because we're just suited for different things.
Right.
Nope, not every man is. And nope, not every woman isn't. I get that. But we can take what we see in the Bible. Always have to be careful, of course, the difference between prescriptive and descriptive. Just because it's revealed doesn't mean that it's the rule. we got to be careful of that. But if we're going to use the Bible to inform us, I think it would point us in that direction. 877-282-2337.
So this is from...
Don't got a dad joke for me?
No.
See, that's what you should do. When you get all angsty with me for saying, let's take a look at another something when there's, well, now 50 seconds left.
Just fill it with a dad joke.
Just give me a dad joke.
Let me think.
Jimmy, I think this was another expression that says, I'm here for you. I'm trying to help you. I know you love the dad jokes.
I do.
This would be your chance. 877-282-2337.
So now you really want
go!
Me
to... Go! Make something up!
I don't have one. You can't force brilliance, Todd. And that's what all my dad jokes are.
What did Adam and Eve do when Cain killed Abel?
What did they do? What did, I don't know.
They raised Cain. Do I have to do everything around here? This is Wretched Radio.